Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Monday to you. It is Monday morning. I'm completely excited. Like I tell everybody, it's 2 days, two shows that you definitely do not want to be on. And that's my Monday show and my Friday show. And oops, I didn't tell the guests today. Mondays, I've had way too much sleep. And Friday, I haven't had enough sleep. So what I'm going to say, I don't even know. Not that I know what I'm going to say Tuesday through Thursday, but today, I know it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to invite you to do what I always invite you to do, and that is go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone who is doing something other than watching the show and let them know we're live. So text them, tweet them, send them an inbox message. Hey, I don't care. Send them a carrier pigeon, but get it to them fast so they can watch the show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to do what you bring me here to do, and that is to introduce my very, very first guest. And she's a friend. I love when I have friends on the show, people I actually know, their background, their history, their journey. And so I want to go ahead and introduce Renee Crossland. A sensory bee was born out of the heart and desperation of her personal challenges to deal with the ever-changing needs of her own special needs family. With two special needs teens and sensory issues of her own, she has spent a lifetime learning how to take care of others in a holistic way. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining me. You're always a pleasure to talk to meet, and you always have this positivity. That's one of the things that I love about you.
Well, thank you so very much. I try to.
You are so welcome. So, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do.
So, I've been a practicing massage therapist for 10 years. And with COVID, I've had to pivot just like everyone else. My office was closed and I was feeling a little bit disoriented and definitely a lot discombobulated. And I needed to figure out how I was going to give back to the community. Through my time, I've been able to write a book. And it's a book about my daughter, and it's called A Bee Like Me. And what it is it's showing the world what it looks like to be in our life, in our shoes, but more importantly, what it feels like to be my daughter. My daughter deals with autism and other sensory issues, and I'm wanting people to see life from her point of view and how challenging life may be. But when I started doing that, I needed a platform to carry it off. And what I decided to do was create products that I really wish I had when they were growing up. Things that will help them learn how to monitor their body, to express their emotions, and connect them to the world at large.
Now that's wonderful. When you mentioned the book and your daughter, was this her idea or your idea?
It was my idea, and what I was trying to do was to get into her shoes. As a massage therapist, it's really important for me to connect with my client and feel what they're feeling so that I can unwind their body, so I can hear their story. When I was looking at my daughter, it was very hard to understand why she was doing what she was doing. But when I started to unravel her puzzle and I started to get into her shoes, I really saw life for what it was and how I could make it better. When I was able to connect with her, we had a better connection, and I was able to help ground her into reality and bring her back into focus and balance.
So often, especially when something isn't our idea, there may be a resistance to it. What was your daughter's response to your idea?
It has been absolutely amazing. It has brought us closer together. When we launched, I wrote the book at the beginning of the year in January. So we were all scheduled to go through all the libraries, the schools, and all that. And then COVID hit. That didn't stop us. We started doing lives where she would come on and be my helper. She always likes to play with my oils. She likes to play with my sensory toys. And so she was 100% in on this. And I have a Facebook Live that is us reading the story together. And she got to read her part and she really enjoyed the process. So she is becoming my little mini me, and she's helping with the jewelry. She's helping with, she definitely has a role in this store and this creation. And it has been so much fun finding something that we can do together.
I think that's beautiful. I really think it's beautiful. I'm going to come back to you, Renee. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, but I definitely have more questions for you. I want to go ahead and introduce Ms. Hope Katz Gibbs. Hope is someone I've been talking to and corresponding for the last couple of months. This is a lady who is prepared. She did her own flyer, has been promoted on social media, and I'm excited to have her here. Hope Katz Gibbs is the president of her own company, Incandescent Inc., which she founded in 2008, a PR and publishing firm that helps entrepreneurs supersize their small businesses. Hope and her team also publish online magazines, including Incandescent Women and Incandescent Health and Wellness. In 2020, she supersized her own business once again by offering educators of women, wellness, and kids to teach online through her popular portals. And in 2021, she'll be launching Incandescent Kids Magazine. Good morning, Hope. How are you?
Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here with all you gorgeous women. This is so much fun.
I know, it's so beautiful. I love, most of my shows are all women. I don't know why. I usually get like one guy, and I think it's because men don't like to talk as much. That's kind of what I've determined.
could be for sure.
Incandescent Ink. What is incandescent? Because I know what it typically means. What does it mean to you? Let's say that.
Oh, great question. So it means to glow, right? I've been a journalist since I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania way long time ago in 1986. And as a reporter, I just, you know, I love to tell stories as you do and explain, you know, understand what makes people tick as Renee does, sort of putting that puzzle together, taking apart, right? So I created Incandescent as a way to help women especially shine. And I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time and just started working with small business owners to help them grow their businesses. So I developed this 8 steps to PR success that starts with have a stunning website. And then we start to grow it from there, getting people in the news, getting people to do newsletters. I developed incandescentradio.com, which has at this point dozens and dozens of podcasts on it. Incandescent.tv is our YouTube channel because our clients wanted to get out there, right? So I gave them a platform as a reporter. I have a team of 10 people who work for me and have for a really long time. My now ex-husband is still my art director. We're actually working on one of our current books. We're working on about 3 books right now called WhyDivorce.us, 5 Reasons to Leave. So we can talk about that later if you'd like. And then the magazines just were born out of necessity. So incandescentwomen.com grew out of my Truly Amazing Women project. And we've pretty much featured nearly 400 women at this point. And we turned it into an interactive magazine. So it's got video interviews and podcast interviews. And we're really helping women get their voices out there. So Renee, I would love to feature you and all you women because, you know, we need to work together, right? We're a team, we're strong. And then Incandescent Health and Wellness at beincandescent.com is a magazine I started in 2010 as a publication for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. And we were getting like 1 million hits a month because we were interviewing amazing people who had great advice. And that's really the thrust of what I do is educate people, right? Because what better way to build your business than to teach, right? Because then you are the expert. And so we just sort of polish up the diamond. That's what I say we do. And I'm thrilled. So that to me is what it means to be incandescent.
I think that's powerful. I think everything that you said is powerful. And it always amazes me when people are so humble with everything that you do. You know what I mean? Because people ask me all the time, Sharifa, how can you do all these different things and wear so many different hats? And I'm like, it's not easy, but I see the different needs. So you have something for the women, something for the children, just something for the entrepreneur. And it's so many different directions. I think that's amazing. But how do you hold it all together?
You know, I love that question. Everyone's like, how do you sleep? You know, and I actually put a lot actually, but it, and I say it's all the same, right? It comes from the guts and the heart. I help people get more visibility. And so I meet them where they are. And I don't expect anyone to understand the complete landscape of all our options because they don't need to. They just need to kind of pull on one strand and then come with us and play. And I always tell our clients, when you become part of the Incandescent family and you buy in, even if it's as a teacher for, you know, $1,000 where we create a platform for you on our website, and then you buy a small PR package, we just keep going with you, right? We just keep promoting you on our publications. We have about 50,000 social media contacts, 300,000 views as of this week on our YouTube channel, which I'm very
congratulations. Congratulations. That's wonderful. We're going to get all our interviews up there and successful and moving. I'm going to come back to you, Hope, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, especially since we talked a little bit about divorce, and we'll have some questions about working with your art director. I don't know. But our next guest is Paulicia Aguilar. She's both a marriage and family therapist and a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas. Paulicia graduated from Our Lady of the Lake University with a Master of Science degree in clinical psychology with emphasis in marriage and family therapy. Paulicia has extensive education training and experience in the field of mental health and is the CEO of Poly Clinical Services and specializes in working with individuals dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. She also provides premarital and marital couples counseling. Good morning, Paulicia. How are you?
Good morning to you, Ms. Sharifa. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I found you a new client. We're going to talk the Hope. We're going to work this art director thing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm leaving Hope alone. But Paulicia, tell us a little bit about yourself. Why are you here today? What is it that you would like to achieve?
Yeah, so when I saw your post, I'm always a person who loves to connect with powerful women. And so one of my goals is to just be able to spread self-care and self-worth. So as I connect with people, I always want them to experience me as the person who has provided hope for them. So, you know, oftentimes we're talking today just about how, you know, we do a lot of things, you wear multiple hats. And oftentimes what I find in working with clients, whether it's couples or individuals, is that we tie what we do, our titles, to our self-worth, and they're not the same, right? So what I do, my ability to perform, does not dictate who I am. And so that is something that I continue to work with couples and individuals, because there's a lot of anxiety around that. If you are strictly focused on what you do in your day to day and something happens like COVID and then you're laid off or you're furloughed, then your self-esteem goes down the tube. And you're so much more than that. So in working with people, that's just something that I really love to impart with them. And I specifically like to work with anxiety, stress, and depression, because many years ago, that's something that I dealt with after I had my daughter. I dealt with postpartum depression. So I say that I have the ability to look past the eyes, because people show up in so many different ways where they're smiling and they're so happy, but I really speak to the soul of the person. And so Polyclinical Services LLC was developed. I used to have a brick and mortar, and I had to pivot, as we've talked about. And so now providing online services has just been wonderful.
So much of what you said was just powerful. And it resonated with me, especially because I've been divorced twice and I've been laid off 8 times. Now, the divorces to me, for whatever reason, because I'm just like that, didn't affect me as much as the layoffs. Because what, you know, I've never in my life been fired, but I was laid off 8 times. And people don't understand the emotional effect that happens. Because when you usually leave a job, you leave for one of two reasons. Either you're fired or you quit. When you're fired, you know, even if you don't admit it to anyone else in the world, you know you did something wrong. When you quit, you typically quit because there's something else better or greater or just simply different that you're going to do. You're moving across the country. You're going back to school. You got married and want to be a housewife. But it's a conscious decision, and it's your decision that you have control over. But when you're laid off, somebody else just says, Sharifa, you're wonderful. You did a great job. Thank you for being employee of the month this month, but we have to let you go. So it affects you emotionally in a way. Because your life, you know, my debit card used to be magic. You know what I mean? I could shop and go or whatever. And now I'm laid off and I don't have the same lifestyle, but people don't understand. And it's just like, just go on with your life. Long-winded question, long-winded soapbox is Monday. But what are your thoughts on that, Paulicia?
I agree with you. And I think that oftentimes, because we attach what we do to who we are, we don't really get the support that we need. Like, you don't, in terms of you just being open and vulnerable and sharing, that's something that you do. But oftentimes, a lot of people don't share. They keep all of those emotions, you know, pushed down. They feel like, well, if I admit this or if I say this, especially if they are in key positions, then what are people going to think about me? You know, am I weak? Am I, you know, do I look a certain way? So we begin to mask who we really are. And so, again, just being able to get to the core and start to unpeel some of those insecurities, I think helps us to just be stronger. I know that earlier Renee had mentioned about her daughter, and I also have a son who's autistic. So a long time ago, it was a big deal to talk about my son being autistic and what people would think and, you know, what they would say. And then one day, you know, as I'm working through my own things, I said, well, that to me, it's a blessing. Why not be able to celebrate the uniqueness of each child that you have? Because it celebrates who you are. All of us are different. And so we are to be celebrated. And just going back to what you said, our individual differences, if you're laid off today, doesn't mean that you don't have a gift to do something different. Oftentimes we're like, okay, well, I did something wrong, or what actually happened to put me on this path. But I believe, you know, spiritually, that there's something that's being open for you to do something much greater. So, you know, although you talked about the eight times you're able to rise and elevate, now you're able to talk about your experiences and your processes to be able to help somebody that might be dealing with what you have experienced. And they're like, you know what, I can't get a break. Right. So yes, that sort of opens up, well, maybe you could start your own business. What is your unique gift that you could do to tap in and help somebody else?
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me. Exactly. My self-esteem had taken a hit, especially because I kept, you know, going to job interviews and they look at my resume and they're like, oh, you know, all these short jobs. It makes me look like I can't hold a job. But I went to one interview and the guy took a look at my resume. He looks up at me. He goes, wow, you have the resume of an engineer. You have such a diverse skill set. And the way he saw me changed the way I saw me. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I definitely have to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the adorable Adore Drake. She's an experienced marketing consultant and coach, and she has one of the best backdrops ever. She started in corporate America, but after a hard layoff, which somehow, some way, we were talking about today, she decided to use her gifts and skills to serve other entrepreneurs to help them develop their own unique marketing strategies. And one of the things I like to tell our guests and remind our audience is that I do not select the date that our guests appear. Our guests decide when they want to show up. And today we have commonality. Somehow, some way, we have more in common than we have that is different. Good morning, Adora. Thank you for joining us here today.
Good morning. Really happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. You have that beautiful smile. You have this beautiful glow. Oh,
thank you so much.
About you is glowing. I just know for a fact, only because we're being honest, we women are having this little therapy. We have a therapy, Paulicia. But when you were going through that experience, it had to be difficult for you. It had to be challenging.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Like I went through the whole depression thing, like what's wrong with me kind of thing. Like, you know, what am I going to do next kind of thing. And so it was definitely a process for me too, after the layoff, because I was just trying to figure out like what happened. And you just keep planning in your mind, like, you know, the same scene. And it's just like, you know, you have to move forward. So I kind of had to, you know, keep going to interviews and I got rejected a lot. And so I went through that process too, until I realized like I am the skill, like I am the asset. And so I turned that around and started using it.
Yes, and that's a powerful, powerful recognition. When you recognize that you are the skill, you are. Right. So why marketing? Why out of everything in the world, why did you decide to go into marketing?
Well, it's funny because I actually went into college as a journalism major. And so when I got into those courses and everything, I realized that that really wasn't my area. That wasn't where I thrive. And so I actually had to start researching and figure out like, where do I fit in? Like, where is my passion at? And so eventually I wind up in marketing. And so I was in the business school at that point. And what's funny is that, you know, with journalism and marketing, there is a lot of storytelling. And so I still get the chance to do that. I still get a chance to connect with the audience. And so that's really where I thrive. And then also it's really analytical too. So I get to see like what's going on with the market, you know, is it changing, you know, how do you adapt? And so that part really excites me too. So I love that about marketing.
No, I understand completely. One of the things that many people don't know about me is that I went to college to be an accountant. After a while, I was like, I don't want to sit in a cubicle and count beans. I want to do marketing. And I love marketing because at 3 a.m., when I come up with all my best ideas, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, let me try this. Let me do this, as opposed to just sitting there looking at numbers. But I love numbers because numbers make sense to me. People will never make sense, but numbers make sense. So how do they come up with your best marketing ideas?
You know what? I like to just step away and get some fresh air. Usually when I'm not stressed out, I get the best ideas talking to people. So talking to different women like you, like listening to your stories, really just kind of listening in and just hearing into the market. You can really hear like what people are needing and what they're looking for. And that's the best way to build a unique strategy for your particular business.
Do you focus on a specific genre or niche?
No, but I do work, you know, mainly with female entrepreneurs. Usually some are just starting and they're not really sure, like, how do I get started? How do I grow on social media? You know, how do I get people from my social media, you know, into my pipeline? And so I really help and coach them with that. And then I have a few different, you know, courses and things like that, that they can actually go through on a self-paced type of way.
That's wonderful. Adora, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Lee Crockett. All beautiful women today, a women-only show. I love it. Not that I don't like the men. I love me the men, but today is an amazing show. And Lee Ann Crockett is a leadership development and career strategist. So maybe out of our guests today, she's going to help us find a job. I don't know. But she spent over a decade in corporate sales leadership, leading teams of all sizes, as well as several large national accounts. Early in her career, Leanne developed a passion for leadership and cultural development and created and implemented several training programs as well as diversity and inclusion resources. She started her consultancy to make a bigger impact on women and women of color in particular. Leanne works with women who feel unsupported and underutilized in their current companies. She helps them implement processes to supercharge their leadership skills so that they get promoted faster. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. I was reading that and every other word I wanted to be like, yes, 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 girl, do that. Yes. I told you it was Monday. You are so polite. You just been there all quiet and during the show. I know you have something to tell us, but we've been talking about women's empowerment. We've been talking about leadership. We've been talking about that job. So tell us a little bit about you, how you got started, who you are, and what you do.
Yeah, so I have a very similar background to Adora. Majored in journalism and communications when I first started college, and I was like, I don't like that. So I moved over to the business school, and I really concentrated in entrepreneurship. I was lucky to have worked for some really big brands in a role in sales leadership where I was really able to run my business soup to nuts. And then during that time, I had several experiences which really led me on the path of where I am now as a coach working with women, where I felt like I was overlooked, I felt like I was passed over, and I felt like there were a book of unwritten rules, if you would. You know, I would see people getting promoted much faster, people with less tenure, less experience. So really what I do now is I work with women leaders, specifically women of color, to do two things. Number one is I have a four-step system to help them get promoted faster and play the game, essentially, if you will, to teach them those rules. And then we really also cover the how-to tools of being a leader that nobody teaches you, right? You have onboarding and then you're sort of thrown to the wolves. So we really work on, throughout that four-step system, some of those things you don't know, like how to fire somebody, how to have difficult feedback conversations, all of those things that, you know, corporate America expects you to know that you never actually get training on. And I really love what Paulicia said, is that you know, you are not what you do. So there's life coaching in everything that I do, because if you're not attacking, you know, your career from a perspective where you have a solid foundation, you have healthy relationships, you have health and wellness top of mind, you have healthy boundaries in what you do, then it's going to translate into your productivity. So we really have to work on a balanced and whole, fulfilled individual to get them where they want to go.
Wonderfully, you went in a lot of different directions. So I want to go back to one of the initial things that you mentioned when you said that you kind of watched the process. You watched who was promoted. You watched who got ahead. So by watching that, you were able to garner specific reasons, I would assume. That's what I'm trying to understand, why these people were promoted or moved up or became leaders while these people weren't. And too often what I see is that we kind of sum it up and go, okay, well, it's a good old boys club. Right. So that means no matter who you are, if you're not a good old boy and what you do, you cannot move up in that process.
Right. And I think we sort of assume that and we create these ceilings for ourselves. Right. Like, I'm not a part of the club. This is as far as I'm going to go. The system that I work on with women leaders is really saying, OK, you're not a part of that club, but there's a back door. There are other things that you can do to check off the boxes of what these, you know, what corporate is looking for in a promotable candidate, that you don't have to have, you know, your grandpa's good friend from college looking out for you, right? Because that's really how it starts off. You have somebody in the company higher up that's sponsoring you, that's kind of pulling you along the way, giving you opportunities and opening doors for you. And the reality is most of us don't have that. So what I focus on is saying, okay, take that off the table. There's still, you know, there's no ceiling that's created because of that. We can work together to figure out how to get where you want to be without having those resources and building those resources on your own as you move through your career.
No, I really believe that that's powerful, because as a man thinks, so is he. So if you believe that there is a ceiling that you can't go above, then you will, like you said, Lee, you will limit yourself. Now, I want to come back to you, but I want to go over to Paulicia and start this conversation, because, again, I just love this show. I'm passionate about this show. That's why I show up every morning and do this show, because you mentioned you have an autistic child just like Renee. Adora talked about her being laid off and her struggles, but I think we all came down to somehow, some way, there was either anxiety, there was stress, or there were depression. So listening to the women speaking, what comes to mind, Paulicia? What are your thoughts?
Well, for me, and just hearing everybody's story, like, that, you know, on this path or this journey that we're on, we all have taken these experiences to rise, to elevate, and again, to be able to share with others. And so the more that you're able to talk about your experience, to me, it's healing yourself, right? Because oftentimes as leaders, especially, you know, during this time, we've been seeing so many women just rise, right? You've seen so many people on social media doing their lives, you know, with the empowerment and things like that, and sort of supporting and rallying each other. This is the time that I have seen, you know, women really take those negative experiences that we have talked about and have honed in on that, and have really just been able to use that experience to bless other people. And so even though we're sharing our journeys and, you know, how we specifically got here, it's all been for a common purpose. And so I just love to be amongst that, because now, you know, when you talk about it, it's like, oh, that really wasn't so bad. Now, you know, now we, if somebody's going to put in the chat, you know, oh, well, this is what I've been experiencing. How can I, you know, get the support that I need? And so, you know, I would just say that this to me has, it's been wonderful, because you sometimes when you're an entrepreneur, you think that you're alone. It's very, very lonely, right? In terms of what you're doing, the grind of, you know, making the business, making the contacts. But when you're able to get amongst a community that is experiencing some of the same things just in different ways, it's just so powerful and so enriching. So, yeah.
I agree. Definitely.
Yeah.
Hope, do you have a community around you that supports you in your endeavors?
Absolutely. Yes. My team that I mentioned, just, you know, my web developer and my partners, I actually started creating strategic partners this year. So Cynthia De Lorenzi is my collaborator on Incandescent Women magazine. We just launched the What's Next project. And since August, we've been interviewing dozens and dozens of women about what they see is coming next post-pandemic, during this pandemic that doesn't seem to want to let go. And she's the reason that I moved to Las Cruces. Actually, I was a bit on quite a journey the last several years. So that's something that grounds me is working with her. And then with my collaborator, Tony Farmer in DC, we launched the Black Lives Matter radio show. And I'd very much like you all to be come on and be guests because we're really taking a deep dive. And as I made him the host as a Black man, I really wanted his perspective. He also is a life coach. And I just finished my Martha Beck life coach training because I think that work is so powerful, those access tools. So no matter what you're doing, you're, you know, in your business, you're sort of coaching people through as you're coaching yourself.
Yes,
absolutely. So, you know, and it's nationwide, but I will tell you that I'm here all by myself in Las Cruces. I moved here in July on Cynthia's encouragement. And my son was with me for a long while. And about a month ago, he moved back to be with his dad in Richmond, Virginia. So I'm here like banging around this house that I'm renting, right? As I'm morphing my life into the next place, my ultimate goal is to create a retreat center here for women.
I'll be there. I will definitely be there. I want to go to, I love retreats. Like that's Renee and I know, like that's our whole little tribe. It's like, we love retreats, doing these different things. But one of the reasons why I just love doing this show and many of the things that I do is what you were, what Paulicia was mentioned about the whole idea of being alone and feeling alone. And as a business consultant, I consult with so many people who tell me, oh, well, Sharifa, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because I had cancer. I can't do it because I got laid off. I can't do it because I used to deal with domestic violence. I can't do it because I have an autistic child. And I love to be able to say, no. Watch the November 23rd episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And if these ladies can do it, there's no reason under the sun that you can't do it as well. Adora, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what specifically Paulicia had to say, but on your community, what are some of the things that make you feel less alone? And how do you get through this as a small business owner?
Well, yeah, so I'm really introverted. And so that was definitely a struggle for me because I wasn't used to having to get out there and, you know, ask questions and things like that. And so the first step I did was went to where I hang out anyway, which is social media. So there are a lot of groups that you can join specifically for entrepreneurship, where you hear other people's stories, you really hear about their journeys, and you say, man, like if she can do it, I can, right? And so it's a good place to ask questions. You know, you don't feel by yourself. And, you know, if you're going through something, you really can really relate to other people. And so that's the first place I started going. And then I, before the pandemic, of course, I actually got out the old school way and I went to networking events. So I went out and shook hands, introduced myself and, you know, really started building a community within my own city as well. So I think that's the key really is to just continue to build your network. And just continue to connect with other people, you know, going on a journey similar to yours, kind of like we are today. And I think that's the key to really building a community.
I must admit, and Renee knows, and the people who know me know, like I'm more of a virtual kind of person. I'm a recluse who like a global shutdown is I've been training for this for like 40 years, you know what I mean? Like this is the me. Like
me too.
I hardly stay in the house. But you mentioned the offline networking. I would find that I would have this whole conversation with Sharifa and I go, Sharifa, you got to get more clients. You have to get out there. You have to join some of these network groups. And I would join a million network groups, get all these different issues, leave all of the networking groups, go back home and go, that's exactly why I don't leave the house. I'm not necessarily, I don't people well, you know, and I'm running for Senate again. I just announced it yesterday, California State Senate. And last time when I ran for city council, all my friends were like, Sharifa, how are you gonna run for city council? You don't even like talking with people. And I say, no, I love talking to people. I just don't like talking with people. So I'm working on me. Lee, your thoughts.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to being introverted. But I really love, you know, going back to what Paulicia said again, is all of these experiences that we've had over the years where we feel like, oh, like this is so challenging. Like, how am I going to get through it? And then just, and I know for me in my experiences, just looking in retrospect now, it's really what set me up to come back as an empowered woman and to be able to put myself out there despite my introversion, right? And say that I was able to push through and overcome my experiences. And there are so many other women who need me, and they need women like all of us in terms of what we're doing to be able to look at us as examples, and not only do that, but to use us as resources to be able to say, okay, you can help me get to either where you are or where I want to be. But it's proof, you know, proof is in the pudding right here on the show, like you said, that you can move through any experience that you, you go through, and you can come out so much stronger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Renee, that was one of the things that you wanted to be with what you were doing, is a resources for other families who dealt with this, correct?
Correct. So I am an extrovert of the group, and I love being around people. And so COVID hit hard, and it really shut my world down. And so the first thing I did was I created a community where I could still see all of my friends. But what I wanted to focus on was what we were dealing with in common. And so I created Wine and Wine Wednesdays, which was a wonderful way for us to connect and just talk about what was going on in our day, in our week, and how we could support each other. But what
Hold on. I mean to cut you off, but that's what I do here. I just want to make sure I'm spelling these correct. So we have W-H-I-N-E and W-I-N-E.
Oh, yes. The perfect way to end a Wednesday.
Why wasn't I invited to this party, though?
Because it was for special needs moms.
I'm with you, Renee. I was about to get a little upset there for me. I was feeling some kind of way. I'm like, wait a minute. I wasn't invited to this party.
And I have a lot of friends that were quite ticked with me that they weren't invited either. But what I have found was with special needs families, a lot of us feel isolated and we feel alone and we don't feel like we have that community. And so I was able to create that community. And through the process, we've grown and we've created a private Facebook group. We've created a community, and now we have mentor programs, and we've changed it. It's still a Wine and Wine session, but it has turned into the weekly buzz for our families. And we are slowly growing, but it's amazing to see the community come around us and be able to support and be authentic and be real and not have to worry about what people think, because you are in a safe, open community where everyone gets it, kind of like Cheers. And you know, everyone knows your name, and it's like Las Vegas as well, because what happens in the hive stays in the hive. And so we just have a great time connecting with women.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel like somehow, some way, I got to figure out how to be a part of this energy, because I just love the energy. Somehow, some way, we're going to do Entrepreneur Day one day, and I'm just going to come in and talk to the people. But I need to be a part of what you're doing. Paulicia, one of the things Renee talked about, again, is her group. As a parent with a special needs child, have you looked or searched for ways to, you know, find somewhere where you belong, per se?
So I am a part of Autism Speaks, which is like a national group. But in terms of connecting with others, being in the mental health field, I know a lot of people and colleagues that also deal with special needs and have children with special needs. And so, you know, anytime there's a forum that's going on, you know, that's how we sort of connect and put information out. But in terms of myself, really, I really just hone in on enjoying the time that I have with my son. I have three children, and he's 17, and he also wrote a book last year. And so just being able to be around him and him coming up with creative games and ideas and things like that, I'm more of a what do you call when you say introverted? I guess I'm an ambivert. So it depends upon what's actually going on. Like, my family time is really my family time. And so I'm, you know, as anybody with children, really, really protective of my son and his needs and what's going on, to make sure that I'm present for what he needs at that moment. So that's really just been my support. And then if I'm feeling like, you know, I don't have the answers or I'm overwhelmed, I try to get out of the mindset of, you know, because I'm a psychotherapist, that I, you know, I'm going to analyze him and going to make it all better for him. He has his own therapist. You know, therapists need therapists. So I have my own. And so that's how we sort of just keep things moving, because there's always something new to learn about his journey and what he's experiencing. And I always want to be present with that. So, yeah.
I like that. I like that. And I have a question for Hope and Adora. So I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to give them each a moment to respond. But my question is this: we're speaking to Renee and Felicia and Lee and having a great conversation, and what they're doing is so powerful. From a journalist perspective, what would you encourage or recommend as far as getting out their story of what they're doing? And we're going to start with you, Adora.
Well, like I said, I'm not really a journalist, but as a storyteller, you know, I think that it's important that if they are trying to connect with certain people, that they let them know like what their story is and how, you know, how it changes and how they can connect with their audience. And so that's really important, especially when you are trying to get them into your program or get them into your business. It's important to really make that connection. And so a lot of the people are, you know, sensitive about their stories, and sometimes they're kind of afraid to share it. But to me, that's the best thing you can do, especially when it comes to building a brand. And I'm sure Hope will agree with me that if you share your story and you really put yourself out there, people like that. Like, people want to know that you're a real person and that you can really, you know, relate to them on whatever level that they're on. And so usually, you know, I tell clients that all the time, like, go ahead and share that. Go ahead and share your experiences. Don't be afraid to do that, because that's the best way to build a brand and people will remember.
Mm-hmm. Hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I will invite you all to share your story through my magazine so that we can then get it out there in a bigger way. I'm really excited about Incandescent Kids magazine. I want to give voice to kids and teach them to think like reporters. Give them the opportunity for us to publish their work. So, because when you think like a reporter, you're coming at the world from kind of a multi-levels, right? You're in this, you're observing, you're listening, you're paying attention, and then you're crafting something, right? Sort of like an artist, how multi-talented they are in what they can do to tell a message through their work, right? And then publishing books, that's a really big push for what Incandescent Publishing is doing. I want to help people's messages get out there, and then promoting it using these 8 steps to PR success. In fact, in 2014, I published PR Rules the Playbook, which because all my clients were like, you know, I want to get in the news. I would get them in the news. They're like, but nobody called. I'm like, because it's PR, it's not sales. So this 8 steps to PR success explains how, you know, the difference between PR, marketing, social media, advertising, and sales, right? We all want the sale. And it's complicated. So some of the metaphors that Incandescent uses, which maybe you guys can think about, is, it's, you know, it's fireworks, right? And if you don't catch the embers, it's just a pretty memory. So I encourage people to capture everything that gets out there on their websites, on social media, because that's how the bots pick up on search engine optimization. And it's also waves on a beach. You've got to keep at it, right? If you can't give, and you need a strategy, which is the biggest tip that I always offer people. What's your plan? Plan A, plan B, plan C. And what's your core competency? What's your message, right? I do all these things, but at the core of it, we help people promote what they're doing and make it really make sense, right? But again, to your points also, it takes community, and it takes like this, we're all in this together and we're working together as a team, right? Because then we can have this network, and that's why women are so amazing. And to Lee's point, right? I'm seeing this old boy network go away. And women are just so, we're joining hands and we're like, all right, let's do this, ladies. Because I think we're tired of being like not heard, not seen. In fact, my retreat center, the First Incandescent Health and Wellness Center here, my architects are a man and woman. My son is an architecture student. So he introduced me to one of his professors. And I want all women to work on this project. The bankers that we get the loan from, the investors, the construction company, and the architects, right? So I have that one checked off. Weijia is my architect, and she'll be the cover story of my January issue of Incandescent Health and Wellness magazine. So we're just kind of like building it instinctively, intuitively, right? And as a community. So I hope that answered some questions.
It answered a lot of questions, but it also led me to a lot more because I'm naturally inquisitive, which is a polite way of saying I'm nosy as hell. So Lee, question for you. Hope mentioned that she's seeing the Good Old Boys Club is going away. Are you seeing and experiencing the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the future is female, right? And the future starts now. I think that to Hope's point, we're tired of accepting and putting, you know, these limits upon ourselves because other people say so. And I think within so many women, we feel like we're capable of doing so much more. And that's really what I talk to my clients about. And part of my four-step system, right, is like, if you go through all of these things and you're still facing an employer who's saying, well, no, because of this, go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously things are challenging now, but I feel like we get so used to our routines that we don't think about other people are more than happy to bring us on board and see us as a huge resource. And we sort of accept that, oh, this is as far as I can get in this career. I guess I'll be here for the next 25 years. And that's not the case. And especially with women coming together more so now than I think we ever have. And I think there's only more to come. And us really investing in our networks, there's always going to be another opportunity. And we need to really view ourselves as being in the driver's seat and having the power in terms of, you know, taking charge of our own careers.
No, I definitely agree. I did an interview during my campaign where the host asked me, he said, Sharifa, was your philosophy based on Shirley Chisholm and the whole idea of having a seat at the table? And I said, no, I said, I really love Shirley Chisholm. I'm so proud of everything that she did. But my philosophy is not on having a seat at the table, but having my own table. That's what my focus is. It's creating a table where I can do what I want there.
Exactly. And that's sort of, you know, again, go like to my philosophy is that you can do these things to make yourself, you know, prime promotable candidate. And that's you asking for a seat at their table. And if the answer is still no, then you can get the head seat at another table, or you can create your own table. But there are innumerable ways that you can move forward and carry yourself, you know, whether that's through another job or starting your own business. I don't believe in the word stuck. Like I said it, but I usually don't say that, right? It doesn't exist.
Yes, absolutely. Felicia, I saw you nodding over there. You was like, go girl, I'm with you. What are your thoughts on what Lee and Hope had to say?
I absolutely love it. And I think it's really interesting that we talk about, you know, how as women, we continue to elevate, you know, and learning and growing from maybe parts of our own self-limiting beliefs at one point to now it's like, okay, like to Lee's point, like, you know, now I can go and create my own table, like what you just said. And for me, that is what I learned to do, moving from corporate America, making people money and doing all those things and being looked over and feeling, you know, rejected. I had to reframe how I was looking at everything, like, no, rejection is God's protection. And so then if you're not wanting to see the value that I bring to a specific thing, then I will go over here and create this thing. And so then once I was able to do that, when you talk about writing my own books, I have several. I never thought that I would be able to do that as a bestseller, being, you know, somebody that's able to now coach other people, to be able to provide avenues for other people and to provide total transformation. So the transformation that I experienced, that I'm able to now pour into somebody else to do that and to see that they see who their worth, that to me, you can't put a price tag on it. You can't, that's like invaluable information. And so us just being able to come on here and show up confident, authentic as who we are, as strong women, like it doesn't get any better than that. So that's my thought on it. Anytime I hear people like say that, I do, but when you say my head was shaking, like, yeah, because I get excited about that type of energy, because that type of energy is what resonates to then ignite the next person. So somebody that's watching this and hearing us today, they're like, yeah. So, yeah.
Yes, it is exciting. It's powerful to be in a group of women. And you have the same energy and want to make things happen, not only for ourselves, not only for our families, but for the world in general, and empower other people as well. Adora, that's exactly what you said. You said, know what? I'm going to create my own table.
Yeah, literally.
So when you created your own table, how do you work with other women? You said you focused on women-owned businesses. How do you empower them aside from just, you know, them being a client? How do you motivate and empower them to be successful as business owners?
Well, like I said, a lot of them come and they're, you know, really overwhelmed and confused. You know, there's so much information about marketing on the internet and people just don't know how to tie it together and make it their own unique strategy. And so when they come to me, you know, some of them are kind of overwhelmed. They work full time, some of them, and they just don't know, like, what do I need to really do to bring in customers online? And so the way I empower them is just to let them know, like, hey, I'm here for you. I know how to build a strategy. I've been doing this for several years now. And you have somebody here who really cares about your business. So I'm not just here for the money. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you get results. You know, I want you to say, hey, Adora, I've got clients now. Like, I'm good to go. And so that makes me happy. And so when I empower them, it empowers me to keep going. And that's why, you know, I keep doing this job, because I'm really passionate about seeing other women winning and other women building that brand.
Yes, absolutely. And so often as clients, they just need a cheerleader at times. You do the work, but the main thing is they need that cheerleader to say, hey, you know what? You can do it. You can be successful. You can make sales. You can get new clients. You can sell those products. And too often we don't have a support group around us. When I built my first website in 1994, okay, 1994, people told me I was crazy. People told me I was lazy, because back in 1994, the internet, virtual, working from home was unheard of. So unless you left the house and went to 9 to 5, it didn't matter how much money I made, that was irrelevant. It's just the fact that I was physically in the house where people said I was lazy. But just like all of you, I didn't listen to what people said. I went out there and made a difference in the world. So now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show, and this has truly been an amazing show, is just to simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Hope.
I would just say, stay safe, stay positive. And, you know, come together, check out the incandescent stuff, because it's an invitation for everyone to participate and communicate, and we help everyone grow. So I wish safe and wellness and health and wellness to everybody out there. Just wear a mask and stay inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I made a little post today. I was joking. I told all the people who, because I usually always have people in my house. So I said, this year, I know people don't feel comfortable, so what they can do is they can do curbside delivery and they can drop off my plate. I'll even wear a mask when I come out and get it, but Sharifa is going to eat. Lee, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I think I would just encourage people listening or watching to seek out resources. And know that no matter what it is that you're going through, whether it's personal or professional, that there are resources that can help you. People can feel so alone, especially in, you know, in the times that we're facing now with everybody bunkered down in their homes. But because we're so virtual now, there are resources for you everywhere. And really all you have to do is reach out, and there's tons of people willing to help you.
Mm-hmm. And you're willing to help as well. How can people find your information?
Yep, absolutely. So I can be reached through my website, which is leecrockett.com. Or my email is info@leecrockett.com. But all of my information is there. So for any woman leader who's feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overlooked, or a combination of all three, I've definitely been there and can relate and can help you get through it.
Absolutely. What we need is resources. Paulicia, let us know about your resources.
Yeah, so I just echo the sentiments of the wonderful ladies and what they've said today, that there is a lot of support and you can get the support that you need, regardless if it's, you know, physical, emotional, mental support. There are resources out there for you. And specifically right now, what I'm doing during this time is focusing on those working within the front line. And so I have a unique program that works with physicians because they are often the ones that are forgotten. And so for you to be able to connect with me, regardless if you're a physician, you know, if you need the assistance, I'm here. You would go to www.schedulemybreakthrough.com because I believe that everybody needs a breakthrough during this time. Whatever that is, don't limit yourself to talking yourself out of getting the help that you need because you think that you have all the answers. Obviously, if you're dealing with something, you know, you want to be able to have a sacred space that you can talk just to get it off of your chest and be able to have somebody to listen to what you have to say in a non-judgmental space. And that is what I provide. So, you know, whatever it is that you're going through, connect with me and I will be able to help give you the mental clarity that you need to get you through this time.
So can only physicians go to schedulemybreakthrough.com?
It's for anyone. That is the actual website, but I wanted to put a plug in for that program. It's called Restore the Frontline. And so it's unique to physicians because the statistics right now during this time, like physicians are leaving their jobs. They are contemplating suicide. There's so much burnout around helping others right now. And so it's just been a pull on my heart. I've been able to work with doctors throughout this time and just have seen from them going through my program, how they have been able to take what I've shown them to the next level. And so I just want to impart that as well.
So that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Adora, what do you have for us?
Yeah, so I would say definitely find something that you're really passionate about because it'll make you really stick to it. You know, we've talked a lot about entrepreneurship today, but sometimes it's just not easy, right? And so when you have that passion, it keeps you going, it keeps you fueled. And so I think that's what keeps all of us going here too. Like we're really passionate about what we do and who we help. And so make for sure that you think about that, you know, when you choose, you know, your business. You can find more about me. I am on YouTube, Adora Girl in Momentum. And I'm also building a female entrepreneurship community where we come together on a weekly basis and talk about marketing and strategies and things like that. You can find out more about that at girlinmomentum.club. That's C-L-U-B, girlinmomentum.club. And again, we're going to just get together on a weekly basis, talk about some marketing strategies and other things, but really is to bring that community together so you don't feel like you're by yourself trying to figure out things. And I just want to make for sure that, you know, it's an affordable way for people to learn marketing.
Yes, and to understand that you are not alone.
Right.
Renee, what did you think of today's show?
I loved it. And I loved how everyone here is for that community and that support and helping entrepreneurs grow their business, but more importantly, helping women grow and connect. And I am all for that in any way possible. So I was just blown away by the panel that you brought together. Good job. I am so honored to be here.
Thank you. So tell us about how people can find you and support you.
So pretty easy, www.ascensorybee.com. That is my storefront. And then our private group is our Beehive. So facebook.com/groups/ our Beehive. And that'll bring you into that community. It is for Orange County at this point, California, because we are giving out resources that are available to those people. We do plan to grow larger and into different states, but at this point it is small, but mighty. you can follow me on Facebook again at Sensory Bee, and just any help that and tips that you guys have, I am definitely willing to learn. And connection is so powerful and key.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to thank you all for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not important. Whether you're watching this show 4 days from now, 8 weeks from now, or 6 years from now, it doesn't really matter. We still need your support. Please go ahead and share this show, but don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Support our guests. Our guests are here today to help you, so please support them. Visit their websites. Follow them on social media. The information is in the Facebook post. Connect with them. Send them a message. Send them an email. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, we're having some fantastic presenters to help you as well. Or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. Please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.